Too often, we pursue titles and positions, thinking we'll feel good about ourselves when we have them. When I make it to sales manager, when I get on the varsity cheerleading squad, when I'm the head usher, the senior partner, the lead supervisor, and that's fine. There's nothing wrong with titles, but you don't need a title to do what God has called you to do. Don't wait for people to approve you, affirm you, validate you. Use your gift, and the title will come. If David would have waited for a title, we wouldn't be talking about him today. When he went out to face Goliath, the whole army was watching him. What's interesting is David wasn't a general. He wasn't a corporal. He wasn't a sergeant. He wasn't even enlisted. He didn't have a title, a name badge, a uniform, a single credential. He could have said, "God, I can't do anything great. I don't have a position. I'm just a shepherd boy. Nobody is celebrating me. Nobody is validating my gifts." In fact, it was just the opposite. People were telling him how he was not qualified, how he was too small, how he was going to get hurt. That didn't bother David. His attitude was, "I don't need a title. I don't need a position. You didn't call me, and you don't have to approve me. God called me. He gave me this gift. It may seem small. It may be insignificant to you, but I'm not here to impress you. I'm not here to please you. I'm here to fulfill my destiny." He went out and defeated Goliath. In a few years, they gave him a title, King of Israel. Use your gifts, and the titles will come. "Well, Joel, as soon as they crown me king of the office, I'll start being my best. As soon as they make me the head usher, I'll show up early and give it my all." No, it works the other way around. You have to show them what you have, then the approval, then the recognition, then the reward will come. When my father was 17 years old, he gave his life to Christ, the first one in his family to do so. He knew he was called to preach, but his family was very poor. They lost everything during the Great Depression, barely had enough food, didn't have any money. He couldn't afford to go to college. He didn't have a position or a title. No denomination was backing him up. Nobody in the family was saying, "John, follow your dreams, do what's in your heart." His family told him, "You better stay here on the farm with us and pick cotton. You're going to get out there and fail." Daddy could have thought, "I feel this calling. I know I have something to offer if somebody was just behind me." But he didn't wait for a title or a position. He didn't wait for people to validate him. At 17, he started hitchhiking to different towns to minister in the seniors' homes, in the prisons, on the street corners. He used what he had. It didn't seem like much. Compared to other ministers who had been to seminary and had the training, he would have been considered insignificant, unqualified, inexperienced. But you can't wait for people's approval to do what God has called you to do. What you have may seem small. You could feel intimidated, thinking that you don't have the qualifications, the title, the position. That's okay. Neither did David. Neither did my father. If you'll use what you have, God will breathe on it. His anointing on that simple gift will cause you to step in to the fullness of your destiny. In the scripture, there was a little boy. All he had was a sack lunch, 5 loaves of bread, 2 fish. Nothing much, not very significant. Yet when thousands of people were hungry, Jesus took his lunch, multiplied it, fed the whole crowd. Think about this. The little boy's mother got up early that morning to make the lunch. She baked the bread and cooked the fish. Then she went out and picked some fruit off the tree, dug some vegetables out of the ground. She could have been considered insignificant. She was a homemaker raising a child. Other people were out doing more exciting things, being celebrated, making a splash. If she hadn't been comfortable with who she was, accepting her assignment, securing her gifts, she would have been out competing, trying to outperform others, thinking, "I'm falling behind. They're making me look bad. I'm just making a lunch. I don't have an important title." But titles don't bring fulfillment. Keeping up with your neighbors doesn't bring happiness. Trying to impress all your friends will make your life miserable. But running your race, understanding your assignment, being comfortable with who God made you to be is what brings true fulfillment. We hear a lot about the little boy being willing to give the lunch, but it all started when his mother took time to make the lunch. She used her gift that seemed small, just making a lunch. But God took the lunch, multiplied it, fed the thousands, and we're still talking about it many years later. Don't discount the gift God has given you. It may seem small, just making a lunch for your children, but you don't know how God is going to use the child for whom you're making the lunch. You may be raising a president, a world leader, a great scientist, an entrepreneur, a business leader, or a pastor. You may not touch the world directly, but your child may change the world. Your assignment may be to help your seed go further. Are you secure enough to play the role that God has given you? Are you comfortable enough to not have to be number one, to be in front, to have the title, the position, to keep up with others? We put so much emphasis on rising to the top and being the leader. And yes, I believe in excelling and having big gifts and dreams. But I also know that everyone can't be the leader. Everyone can't run the company. Everyone can't be on the platform. Somebody must open the doors. Somebody has to play the music. Somebody has to show people where to sit, where to park. The beauty of our God is He has given us each an assignment. Every one of us has a specific gift and purpose.